Hello, everyone. Welcome to SDCC Weekend on the Z2 Podcast. All the news came out this week. Episode number
19.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, so we got lots of stuff to talk about this week. Loads and loads of stuff from SDCC was announced.
We're literally updating the list before we came on, and I'm sure there's going to be a ton of stuff that we missed or a ton of stuff we just don't talk about.
Well, you think Saturday would be the big announcement day for most stuff, but who knows? I'm sure there's something we're going to miss just because we're recording right now, and they're probably going to announce something else because that's how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, just
I think we'll get all the big
Twitter.
I'm sure we'll get all the big stuff.
Yeah.
So jumping right into it, we can do Marvel or DC news. I guess DC has a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, I think Marvel will be a little quicker.
Yeah, so we'll go with that. We'll do Marvel news. Starting off with all the new Netflix shows that they teased. We got to see a teaser for Defenders. We got to see some footage
For Luke Cage, a trailer for Iron Fist.
Daredevil Season 3 is confirmed, which that shouldn't be surprising to anyone, really. Considering
Jessica Jones Season 2?
It's still in development.
But I want it. I want it to be confirmed.
I know. I want it too. But, yeah. I mean, look, the only one I really cared about was super pumped about was Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool. They used that, I forget what the track was called that they used for the, it's like a really iconic hip hop song though.
Gonna give it to you.
No.
Sorry. Just got done rewatching Deadpool this weekend. Director commentary.
Yeah, Luke Cage looks really cool.
I'm excited about his origin story.
I didn't actually watch the Iron Fist teaser.
It's just a very brief preview of who Danny Rand is. You see him as, rich white boy. Plane explodes. He wakes up in the mountains surrounded by monks. And I know a lot of people were originally upset that Danny Rand is not going to be played by an Asian actor, but
isn't his origin? He's a white guy who...
Yeah, he's a white guy who doesn't belong to any world. He's chosen to be the Iron Fist, and then that pisses a bunch of people off because it's why does this outsider get to use the power of Iron Fist? Or then he comes back to the stateside and it's you are such an outsider, rich, pretty boy, whatever.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Danny Rand's really cool. He's a fun character, and I can't wait to see him and Luke Cage interact.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're probably going to try and set this up for a Power Man and Iron Fist either crossover or some sort of combined series after both of them end or something.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of a cool way. It's just they end both series as a lead into Defenders, and then after that they do Iron Man or Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yeah, it'd be really cool. Or maybe the second season of Defenders is just the two of them.
Yeah, something happens
that way
and they all run off to do their own things.
Yeah, that way they don't have to make another show. Have you been watching Stranger Things?
I have not. Everybody keeps...
Oh my goodness, I watched the first episode. Sorry, Netflix, but everyone's watching it. It's crazy.
So good. I'm trying not to be the hipster about it, but it's just I hate it when people are oh my God, this show. Oh my God, this show. It's just I have no interest. I literally have no interest now in this show.
It's so great.
It was kind of the whole Game of Thrones thing. It's everybody won't shut up about this show, and then I eventually watched
it. Well, it's two or three people on the comic book group mentioned it, and then one of my coworkers mentioned it, and I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. And it's really entertaining.
I'll try to give it a shot.
Did you ever read Ready Player One?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. It's just 80s nostalgia for two people who weren't born in the 80s. But it was just really cool looking at all this different stuff for it.
Okay. I'll give it a shot. I mean, I read the little plot synopsis. It was okay, maybe eventually I'll get to this.
You should watch it. Since Game of Thrones isn't coming back till next
year. Yeah, which it always is. I can't have all my freaking Game of Thrones characters in Final Fantasy, though.
Yeah, what was it?
Final
Fantasy Kingsglaive got announced with Lena Headey, Sean Bean, and
Aaron Paul.
So that's actually really cool.
And they're using the new animation styles, and it looks freaking gorgeous.
Yeah, it's the same engine that actually Final Fantasy 15 is derived from.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks exactly like that. Looks
and
cool.
It's a preview for the game, too. So you get to actually see
Child Noctis. They're setting up the world, yeah.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about that. And we already diverged from Marvel. Good work, us. Good freaking job.
But Final Fantasy knows no bound.
That's true. It will consume us come September 30th.
Ah, I can't Correct.
Can't wait either. Continuing down the list, they finally confirmed that Ghost Rider is going to be an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they're returning with a vengeance. Get it?
Because, you know, Ghost Rider, he's the spirit of vengeance.
Isn't it the actor from True Detective?
There's many of those.
I've never watched True Detective.
I got like half of the first season. That show is way too heavy to try and like casually watch it.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of cool that finally Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying to move forward into other properties now that they've dicked around the Inhumans for
like two seasons. Is Marvel's way of trying to revive characters that have kind of fallen away.
And it's not going to be Johnny Blaze. It's going to be like one of the other Ghost Riders.
Yeah. It's going to be like an actual like agent being like taken over or something.
Oh, I have no idea.
I think I saw that somewhere as like an actual agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the new Ghost Rider or something.
It might be interesting.
Actually, I can pull up the article. Who's the actor? Gabriel Luna. I think he was in season 2, and I haven't, like I said, I never even finished the first season of True Detective.
Okay.
But yeah, okay, sure. Why not?
I feel like Marvel is trying to bring some hardcore B-listers back just to be like, you know what, DC did it, now we should do it. But it's like, it's the difference between Geoff Johns sitting down at his desk making a list of everything
that
he loves.
How can I make this character A-list?
Well, it's funny because literally the whole, we're derailing, but the whole concept of Rebirth was Geoff Johns sitting down. Dan Didio and Jim Lee are probably hovering over him. It's like, what made DC great? And Geoff Johns gave them like a 20-page list or whatever. And it's
do
like,
do this.
What was so great about the Birds of Prey? And Geoff Johns is like, everything.
Which we will talk about later in the show. Let's see. Black Panther's world is getting a second ongoing title called World of Wakanda. Kind of, isn't it starring two of his security agents or something?
Yeah, it's some of those characters that we saw from Avengers Out of Time and Secret Wars. So I think it's really cool because now we actually get an expanded look.
They're bringing in a completely new writer too. I think so.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't remember her name, but she's like, this is her first Marvel book.
Yeah. I forgot to make the link to that, but it's, you know, a good idea because the Black Panther movie is coming up soon. So you want to get people interested in these characters.
Yeah. They want to get people interested in that world for a lot of people who just don't know what goes on in Wakanda other than vibranium. It's about that's all they've really mentioned about Wakanda in the movies is Bucky's stuck there now and vibranium.
Yep.
It's about it.
And then all of the Black Panthers live inside the ring of the previous Black Panther.
Mm-hmm. Passed down from generations.
I hope they do that.
They already did.
No, I mean,
oh, you're talking about in the book.
He sits down, or no, in the movie, Black Panther movie, he sits down and like the spirit of his father comes out of the ring to talk to him. And it's like, I need help. And then Panthers come up to give him advice, kind of like a Last Airbender-esque, where he's seeking advice.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Deadpool is going to become Venom before Eddie Brock. Because, sure, that's exactly what we need, another Deadpool book.
Well, it's driving me insane, and I think I ended that section of our notes with bullshit.
Yeah, you did.
Because
his literal note is Deadpool becomes Venom before Eddie Brock, bullshit.
It bothers me because it seems like Marvel's approach right now is that Deadpool is touching every single one of their properties, and I'm sure Colin Bian will do a fantastic job writing this book. And I'm sure it's just the smallest little retcon or whatever that will explain something. But I don't understand why Deadpool needs to be invested in every single property of Marvel. Yes, he makes money. That is the reason. That is the sole reason.
He is their Harley Quinn.
It's crazy because Marvel, as a company, you know, shut down Fox so much by getting rid of the Fantastic Four, killing all the mutants. But Deadpool, which is also made by Fox, is like, hey, you need this. I mean, Harley Quinn is just a little bit better because she's self-contained.
Yeah.
Other in Harley Quinn, it's a humor book. In Suicide Squad, she is a serious character. But Deadpool is like, spin-off. It's driving me insane. And I just do not care for the fact I do not own a single Deadpool book. I respect him as a character by certain writers, but I don't like where Marvel is going in that direction with him.
And, like, we both enjoyed the movie. Like, that's its own thing, though.
Yeah. I like the movie. I liked Negasonic Teenage Warhead, who just made an appearance in Deadpool Mercs and Money or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, again, it just bothers me that Deadpool is touching every property. Like, I loved him in, like, Uncanny X-Force, where he was part of, like, the Black Ops team.
Or it's kind of interesting to see him in, like, Uncanny Avengers.
Yeah.
Where, like, everybody's this, he's, like, he's the comic relief of that whole group.
Yeah.
Like, that's his role. But it seems like it works pretty well, though, for that. At least that title.
And the in-universe explanation is he's there to generate revenue for this branch of the Avengers.
Of course.
Yeah.
Gotta have some fourth wall breaking. But speaking of more mutants and Fox and Marvel, FX is getting its own X-Men TV series.
Yeah, Legion. And it's not an X-Men TV series. It's just Legion.
Even though they've mentioned mutants several times in the trailer.
And at least to our knowledge, we don't know whether or not Legion's connected to everything. And I listed in our notes like who Legion is. He's his character is David. He's the son of Charles Xavier. And Gabrielle
Haller.
And his special mutant power is that he spontaneously creates new mutant powers inside of his own body. And for each new power, he creates a new personality. So he's suffering like MPD. And it's funny when you go on the wiki for him, like halfway down where he explains his powers, just shows all of his different personas.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be really cool. And I kind of got a tease of that from the trailer where he's sitting there talking to like a special agent where he's sitting there talking to him. And then he's like, for one moment, there's this girl sitting where I sat and then I became her.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool that we actually get to see some of that MPD.
It looks really freaking trippy.
Yeah.
Even the trailer was kind of hard to follow. Like, what is going on right now?
I want to know more. And one of the Reddit comments was like, so since this is its own self-contained thing, what if the entire thing happens in Legion's head?
Ooh.
And I'm like, that's just a serious mind trip. Yeah. We don't need that much.
We don't need that already. The show isn't even out yet.
Oh, the character's name is Legion because of all of his personalities.
One person is many.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool that Fox and Marvel are coming together.
They're trying to work together.
Create this one character.
It seems like at least Sony and Fox are starting to realize it's like, this feud is kind of dumb. We should probably work together and we all win.
Yeah. Speaking of Sony, they announced the Spider-Man villains at SDCC.
Oh, did they?
I heard that on the way here. The villains are going to be Tinker, Vulture, and Shocker.
Okay.
So it makes sense to have those three villains kind of together.
Lower kind of Sinister Six villains, at least Vulture is.
And, well, Tinker is the one who creates the Vulture arm. He's the one who creates the Shocker gauntlets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my hopes is that it makes sense for all three of those characters to be there. And they just did such a fantastic job in like Spectacular Spider-Man or in Bendis's Ultimate Run, where literally every arc started with Peter Parker taking down Shocker for like just a one-off joke.
I mean, they could, just make a call out to that.
Yeah.
Like the first fight scene is just Shocker getting punched to the ground or something.
Yeah. It'd be entertaining. It'd be
kind of entertaining.
But
yeah.
Hopefully there comes more of this. I mean, as cool as it would be to see like Wolverine finally pop up in an Avengers movie, maybe towards the tail end of Infinity War, they make a deal with Fox to get these characters to appear.
Yeah. It's like, can we please show Wolverine? Please. Please. We won't use Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. We'll use his son.
Is his son even close to as ripped as Hugh Jackman is, though?
I don't know. I was talking about like the in-universe son, like
James Wolverine's Howlett. Actual son,
or a Dakin, or X-23, or one of them.
I still want X-23 to show up. That's kind of the goal.
That's been pretty much confirmed. I mean, there's been leaked.
That's what everyone's saying, but we haven't actually seen any image or casting for it, have we?
We've seen images of old man Escalogan, Hugh Jackman, with a young girl who's just like covered in blood.
Oh.
So
cool.
Yeah. There's been a lot of leaked set photos for Wolverine 3. that's okay. been popping up.
Yeah, I just haven't. You'd think you would hear at least some sort of casting.
It's probably something. Happening right now.
Yeah, they're probably just trying to hide as much of it. It's like, here, have all these other things to distract you. Wolverine 3.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, Civil War news. Spider-Man 6.
Have you had a chance to read it yet?
I have not. I've been kind of behind slacking this week.
It's that issue is in one another one of those Civil War tie-ins where Tony encounters Miles and just asks him, whose side are you on? I need to hear that you're on my side. I figured it out. I know how Ulysses' powers work. So, crap, your comics aren't at the table.
No, they're around the corner.
Okay.
Do you need to go grab it?
Yeah, do you want
to
vamp?
I will vamp. You vamp.
All right, so... in other Civil War related news, Nick Spencer has decided to, he wants to write the epilogue to Civil War 2. Kind of like the same way how Bendis wrote the epilogue for the original Civil War by Mark Miller. Nick Spencer says he wants to write a one-shot issue called Civil War 2, The Oath, where both Tony and Carol come to one person that they both trust to, talk about this whole situation. That one person they both trust to see where they can move forward is Captain America, who is still an agent of Hydra. So Spencer says he wanted Civil War 2 and Captain America can kind of to dovetail into each other. So a lot of the after effects of Civil War 2 is going to be partially because of this mind, not even mind controlled, I'm looking for a word, like this mind altered Captain America. So it'll be really interesting to see the fallout from that.
My image use is pretty freaking cool though.
Yeah. So where is that?
It's always also interesting to see like what hairstyle people give Carol. Like she has so many different versions now.
Zach's stuff just fell off his counter. We believe the ghost of his apartment is back.
What? I don't even know what fell.
Do you want to go look?
I can look later.
All right. So Miles is asking, you're asking me to be on your side. I am, but only if you see it my way. Only if you're convinced of it so much that you're willing to fight for it. Only if you're willing to take it all the way. And crap. I'm trying to find that piece where he says, I know how his powers work. Sorry. So, what do you think about that whole concept of, I'm just still reading through the whole concept of Spencer using Captain America as this kind of MacGuffin?
I mean, it's a kind of an interesting. It's almost like that failsafe. It's almost like the whole Quint and Banner thing. It's almost kind of like a failsafe. It's just like if something goes wrong, like take me out or do X.
Yeah.
For me. I mean, it's always that kind of like back pocket, like, oh, the shit hits the fan, but haha, I throw Captain America into the fold.
Yeah. So. Spencer said he's going to remain like that neutral party, even though we see him on Carol's side for promo. He's going to pop up in some of the side stories, but it's really interesting to see that, you know, undercover evil Captain America is going to give the new status quo for Marvel, which is like that, a house divided cannot stand by itself.
Right. But I thought they already revealed that Captain America, like, realized it, or does he just not realize that he's still brainwashed?
From what I've read, because I don't read it either, I see like the clips on Reddit. It's mostly Red Skull saying,
"Okay, so it's just
to the audience."
Okay, so
it's
Red
not
Skull,
Cap. No,
so Cap's still under control. He's just so okay.
He's
still an agent of Hydra. He just doesn't know that he's being played.
All right, so I found the page. So Iron Man is talking to Miles, and it's like. He says, it all depends on your definition of good and good for who. But my biggest concern is the kid's powers. It's not the future he sees. No, the future hasn't happened. How can you see it? All it is the kid's interpretation of the future. I'm still working on how and why he does it. But really, if you think about it, it's profiling. And it comes back to that thing where we talked about last week how Civil War essentially means different things for different characters. Is it thought crime? Is it profiling? And, you know, if you attempt to arrest or subdue someone for something they haven't done yet, you're profiling them. It's a really dangerous issue. And mm-hmm. in this way, Bendis is revealing it to Miles, saying, look, things aren't as all they should be. We don't know the problem, but how is this future supposed to come true if the future isn't set? It's going back to that concept we talked about, mm-hmm. like there's multiple world lines, or it's this kid who's stressed out beyond belief. He's triggered to see something.
Yeah. Or he's triggered to see the worst possible outcome. Like, that could be an outcome, but he's always, like, because he's so stressed that that is the only thing he's seeing is the, this is, like, endgame apocalypse scenario. Because that's pretty much, like, how almost every single event that he's seen is gone, more or less.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been a couple, actually, no, like, literally, even in the Miss Marvel tie-in, it's one of her friends blowing up their school. Like, it's literally always, like, the worst possible scenario.
The Wolverine one right now is, I don't know if you're reading Wolverine anymore.
No, I'm not.
But it's Laura and Old Man Logan and Gabrielle all in the same house. And Ulysses gets triggered, and he sees Old Man Logan killing Gabrielle.
Okay.
Or Gabriella. I don't know her name.
The X-23 clone of clone. Laura. I believe them on Gabriella.
Yeah, so it's like...
Yeah, how I'm trying to remember all three of their names, because two of them are dead now.
Yeah. It's like, how are you...
Or one of them's dead, and the other one...
You don't even know this character, so how do you know this interpretation in the future?
Right.
Just like, you know, going back to the Civil War issue 3, the only Hulk that's been active this entire time was Amadeus Cho. Mm-hmm. So why are you picturing Bruce Banner going on a rampage killing people?
Right. Again, worst possible scenario.
Why can't anything happy come?
I also like that we're using the phrase "never Ulysses is triggered."
Yeah,
I just ended up using. This is like,
the future is my trigger.
Future is my trigger. It's like I picture him just like a blank stare, like triggered.
It's the Tumblr approach.
Yeah,
see something triggered.
I saw this great image that somebody photoshopped from the Wonder Woman trailer of Wonder Woman on the beach with Steve Trevor. It's like, you're a man, and then Steve Trevor responds, are you assuming my gender?
God.
Just like, internet, please. I can't deal with you.
Wow.
I got a good laugh out of it, though.
Yeah. So, my, you know how at the beginning of Civil War, I started collecting all the like fight poster ones?
Yeah.
The next poster is Hawkeye versus the Hulk.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like,
oh man.
The Scotty Young issue. I have the Scotty Young cover. I looked back at it for issue one, and it's very much, it has Bruce Banner Hulk, and he has like one of the Scotty Young arrows in his head. I'm like,
he knew
it was there all along.
Yeah. Or even on the Jamie McAvoy Choosing Sides variant for the next issue of that, they had like the first image that he showed was the newspaper that Kate's holding is censored.
Yeah.
And then the actual one is, says Hawkeye on trial.
Yeah.
Because of the whole fallout.
It's like the Iron Man ones where they finally reveal who Tony's mother is, but they have like a blank black circle around her head. I'm like, no!
Curse you. Anyway.
On the bright side, we know Tony doesn't die at the end of Civil War, according to Nick Spencer. Okay. He says they both go to Captain America.
So he's going
to
run.
Possibly.
He's probably just going to walk away.
Or maybe he's being facetious.
Mm.
Yeah.
Whatever. Can't trust Nick Spencer sometimes.
Can't trust the Morning Glories.
No. Still need to read those two volumes that have been sitting on my shelf. I mean, I have like 24 issues stacked up by the time I get back to it at this point.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah. Anywho, so now we're actually going to get to see the conflict between Inhumans and X-Men, even though we're having Death of X, which is supposed to show that.
No, Death of X is during the 8 months. This is after, because look at the lineup. You have Teen
Jean
I mean, Grey.
It is.
Old Man
I'm just
Logan.
Saying, why are they fighting again? This didn't go well for you last time,
because
guys.
Because Marvel needs to have all of their heroes fight together so their villains shine. You know what Marvel doesn't have that DC does have? Memorable villains. You know what DC has in their movies? Memorable villains, not a character that gets killed off during the first movie.
Or, you know, the reverse of the hero.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Doomsday is totally the reverse of Batman. Or according to the current DC,
I was more referring to like
reverse of
I was
Wonder
more
Woman
referring,
hungry.
Yeah, I was more referring to
Ant-Man, Yellow Jacket, all that. Iron Man, Iron Monger.
Yeah.
What was the villain in Iron Man 3?
Fake Mandarin.
Yeah.
Extremist guy.
Yeah.
I can't even remember his name. That's how unmemorable he.
You know who the greatest Iron Man villain has been? Captain America.
Yeah.
Most memorable villain of the MCU universe.
Yeah. So, but the Inhumans vs. X-Men book, it's going to be a team up between Jeff Lemire and Charles Soule. So, that's a good team together. So, it sounds like the book will be good. It's just, I'm so sick of the conflict.
What are you talking about? We had AVX like 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's the same. I wonder if this is really like, because we talked about before how there were like no X-Men books. I wonder if this is why.
They said they were going to announce some this weekend. I wonder if it's going to be today.
Could be. Let it fly under the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching the CBR live thing and I haven't seen anything. I just see Spider-Man and his amazing friends panel.
What?
Yeah.
Is that going to be a book?
I don't think so. I think it's just like one of those, like, here's a bunch of Marvel writers talking about like their favorite things of Spider-Man or something.
Oh, no, yeah. Plus, it would have had two X-Men on it, so they can't announce that.
Yeah.
Firestar and Iceman aren't allowed to be in anything.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's a 6-issue limited series, starts in winter. Okay.
So we're going from one Marvel
event. We're going from Death of X right into this.
Yeah, we're going from one Marvel event where everyone fights each other to another Marvel event where everyone fights each other to another Marvel event where everyone fights each other. Why does Marvel not have any villains that they can fight?
Because they've killed them all? Or they haven't brought any of them back since Secret Wars? Think about it. Like, Doctor Doom, one of the most iconic villains for, you know, the Marvel Universe. Now he's a good guy. Quote unquote good guy. Anti-hero.
Kingpin gets his own book.
Yeah, he's getting his own book. Thanos is getting his own book.
He can't be a bad guy. They have to fight other bad
guys. Galactus is a good guy.
Is he still in Ultimates?
He's the life giver still.
Okay.
At least I haven't read this last issue. Yeah, but I imagine he's still a life giver.
Where does Galactus fit into Civil War?
He's just off in space healing planets.
So he's the Hulk.
Yeah.
Just shoot him off into space.
Well, I mean, he's just going around. He's just like, I fixed that planet. And then he met up with like some universal beings that are just like, whoa, man, stop. You can't just keep being nice all the time. You are the destroyer. He's like, not anymore.
Are they the intergalactic space whales like Grant Morrison?
No, not the space whales. No space whales.
Darn.
Space whales. Yeah, it looks like that's all the Marvel news, at least for now, until we get to our lightning round.
Yeah.
Later. As a heads up, we're going to do an SDCC lightning round where we're going to say a line and then determine if we want to talk more about it or just say eh or yeah or nah.
Some of it's just like casting stuff and
yeah.
Other stuff it's like, oh, well, I don't want to talk about 5 minutes for this.
Right.
But so, I do want to talk about another 10 minutes of Superman. I'm kidding.
You're in this week's edition of Zach Talks About Superman.
Sorry.
There was no super books this week, though.
Yeah, there was.
Was there? Was there
Superman?
Action? Oh, there was Superman?
Oh, we get a super book every other week. It's Superman Action Comics, Superman Action Comics.
Until Supergirl and Superwoman come out, and then it probably will be every single week.
Just like how we have a Batman book or a Flash book every week now.
Yeah. So, time for DC news is our favorite part, usually.
I cried.
There's a lot of good stuff this
weekend.
Justice
League and Wonder Woman trailers.
Oh, my God. Fucking Wonder Woman. Sorry. Let's just start there.
Like, yeah, I wanted to start at those right trailers. It has color. I'm not used to that in a DC movie.
So, yeah, I mean, you had two different tones between the two trailers. Like, Wonder Woman was definitely the more action-y one in Justice League. Like you said, it's like a Seven Samurai.
Yeah, so what was Wonder Woman's directed by Patty Jenkins, Jeff Johns, and Young Avengers dude wrote the screenplay.
Alan Heinberg.
And you have Gal Gadot, you have, as Wonder Woman, you have Chris Pine. You have, what's that one character, my favorite supporting character.
For Wonder Woman?
The Secretary.
Oh.
What's her name?
Oh,
Eddie.
I don't think they said her name in the trailer.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
It's driving me crazy.
Crap.
But she's in there. It's like Wonder Woman's like one true supporting cast. And Greg Rucka is using all three of them too. But it's so cool to finally see this in action. And, you know, watching like those slow-mo battle scenes, it's like she just moves with grace the entire time.
I love the Amazons on the beach.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, that's so freaking cool and well shot. Yeah. And just the Amazons are just wrecking shit up.
It's really fun to see, you know, we have some of the lighthearted stuff of her on Themyscira, and then we move into like the World War One bits where it looks a little bleaker, but her costume just shines out.
Oh my God. The boot, when she's like, she's climbing out of the trench and you see her boots, I'm just like, those look so fucking cool.
Steve and I freaking out that she just like slaps away a mortar.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then she's just standing over the shield, just blocking a machine gun.
So it's really cool, again, to see the different fighting styles. We kind of got to see them BVS, where Batman's like brute force, Superman is like powers, but Wonder Woman is very much like grace and style the entire time.
She's
like,
very fluid.
On Reddit right now, there's someone posted like a upscaled version of just one part of the scene, and they put in slow motion of her just using the lasso, and it was just so fluid and fun to watch. But dude, Wonder Woman, I can't wait for this movie. It just looks so good.
So great. Like, it's so colorful. The action looks amazing.
I just can't wait to see how broken and depressed she is at the end.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because that's where she shows
Something's going to happen. Steve Trevor's probably going to die.
Steve Trevor. Dude, he is awesome.
There was this awesome screen cap that somebody did of her. She's in the blue dress, and she has the sword in her back. Yeah. It's just like, when you're a... I think the caption was like, when you're at a, you have a dance at 7, but you got to go slay Hades at 8.
She's literally dressed to kill.
Yeah. Like, and, oh man, she just embodies, every time, the more I see Gal Gadot, the more I'm just like, she's embodying Wonder Woman.
And she smiles.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
I think I talked about this last week, but there's this little gif of her doing the Linda Carter spin, and she just looks so happy, and she's in the full costume. Yeah. It's like, God, you look great. This is awesome.
It's like right now they released that trailer, and then like a trailer catered to comic book fans for Justice League.
Yeah.
Ahead of the release, and then they released like a 3-minute Suicide Squad one. But like of those three, I'm like, oh my God, Wonder Woman.
Yeah. It built up the hype even more, but it looks like it's going to deliver.
Oh yeah. It's just funny because it's like, yeah, 2017. It's like, no, we want it now.
Give us now. It's just like everybody forgot Suicide Squad comes out in like 2 weeks.
I forgot.
Yeah, I did too.
Suicide Squad and Killing Joke comes out in like 2 weeks.
Killing Joke comes out next week.
Really?
Yeah, the 29th.
I know like the... I thought it was the second on Blu-ray. I know it was in theaters this week.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was the theatrical
release. Theaters were this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of it looks so great right now.
Yeah, Wonder Woman looks awesome. Like, that looks like the Wonder Woman movie we deserve.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff Johns.
And she just embodies everything. It's like, there's the scene with Steve Trevor. It's like, I can't really do this. Like, you can't tell me what I can and cannot do.
And she, what's great is she has that very innocent tone to her.
It's like that whole, she still has the whole, like, exploring. Yeah, it's exploring the world, too.
Is it Etta Candy?
Etta Candy? What?
Steve Trevor's secretary, Etta Candy?
I think maybe.
But just that one, the Taylor end to the trailer where she's like, I'm Steve Trevor's secretary. She's like, secretary, what does that mean? And she's like, oh, I just do what he does and what he tells me to do. And it's like, that's called slavery where I come from. I'm like, yes, Diana,
slay. I think I even like I posted something. I even like said, yes, queen, slay.
It'll be fantastic to see that.
And then we got the complete opposite tone of Justice League, where is this
Zack Snyder learned.
Yeah, it's very lighthearted. It's very, let's gather everybody together.
Yeah, it came out from like the tail end of like the BVS press tour where he's like, yeah, Justice League is going to focus on Bruce Wayne recruiting people for this eventual war. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, this sounds like Seven Samurai, where they just travel. It's like, we know there's a war coming. We need to prepare for it.
Yep. I mean, you even got to see a glimpse of a mother box.
Yeah, we know Steppenwolf is going to be in the movie, but this very much focused on the characters. We got to see Vic Stone in his normal human
before.
And then we get to see him as the cyborg, and then we got to see
I was very skeptical about how I was gonna feel about Ezra, but that was like, when he shows up on screen, he's just like kind of all over the place. I'm like, that is very Barry.
Yeah,
Like,
well, everyone's like, we still haven't seen like one true Barry Allen. It's like always a dichotomy of Barry and Wally mixed together.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, if they would have just called him Wally West, I think fans would have been happier, or there wouldn't be as much outrage for Grant Gustin to be in this movie.
Right.
I don't think Grant Gustin would have been able to keep up. And not in the Flash that we see in like the Flash TV show wouldn't be able to keep up with like this genre of hero.
Yeah. I mean, even the speed, it seemed the whole Speed Force is completely different.
So great.
Yeah. I was just like, whoa. It's just like he actually, there's like, you see the lightning around him the whole time. Like, even when he moves, it's just like a giant flash of lightning.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of like those Quicksilver scenes.
Yeah.
In, Days of Future Past and the other one, Apocalypse.
Yeah.
But like when he, like when Bruce Wayne throws the batarang, he, everything else slows down and the Speed Force doesn't activate until he like moves or like,
yeah.
And it's just very, it's a really cool take on how it goes compared to like, you know, the Flash TV show where it's like flash, flash.
Zoom, zoom.
We, like, we get to see the
Flash TV show is like very comic booky. This seems like, I don't know how to, it seemed more scientific.
Yeah.
Like it feels,
and that's
like,
why
you actually see the
like,
energy.
Oh, you move fast. I'm like, that's a vast understatement. Our friend Rachel is like, this sold me on Ezra Miller. Mm-hmm. He put on some like muscle too. Like he, his face looks so much different than Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah.
That was the last time I ever saw him in anything.
Yeah.
But just Bruce Wayne going out recruiting people is so fun.
I mean, it even seems like Bruce Wayne and Barry from like the whole, they're both very detective.
Yeah,
like you kind of got that feel, like you see Barry's whole setup, it's just like, that seems like something a detective would have.
Yeah, he was watching Rick and Morty in the background of the trailer.
Was he? Yeah. I didn't even see that.
People on Reddit, like I was sitting there, I'm like, what kind of cartoon are they showing? And then someone on Reddit like did a side-by-side and a scene from Rick and Morty.
Oh,
and I'm nice. Like, that's perfect science. My favorite parts were Aquaman, though.
Yeah, that was, oh man, he just looks so brutal.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so menacing.
Arthur Curry, man, it's so different from a blonde hair, blue eyed Arthur.
Yeah,
but
I heard you talk to fish.
Yeah, that was just my favorite part. I'm sure John out there is like, no, yeah, he doesn't. But it was just really entertaining to see. I love the interaction between Bruce and Diana too. It's like, was it a more or less, or like a
less? He said no. He said no. He said no.
Yeah, that was just really entertaining, and actually getting to see the light-hearted Bruce Wayne felt a lot better, because I guess it seems like he learned from his mistakes. He wants to be someone different,
right? I mean, Batman. I think there was one CBR article I saw where Zack Snyder's like, yeah, we get to see Bruce Wayne, like, Superman inspired him to go and be the hero. So this is kind of why you get that what more lighthearted feel. It's Bruce Wayne trying to be redemptive of himself and, like, be the hero, become the hero again.
I just can't
vigilante.
I can't wait.
Those both come out in 2017, don't they?
Yeah. So Justice League comes out tail end, I think. Like,
yeah, I think November. That sounds right.
And it's still being filmed right now, too.
Yeah, Wonder Woman's, like, early. I think it's March.
What I really like, though, like the whole Aquaman persona, is that he is the outsider to the, all of the outsiders.
Well, he's even like the whole embodiment. It's just like there's this man that comes dirt. He comes in winter and brings fish. Like, he's definitely like, he's, you can tell that he's part of two worlds that he doesn't, but he doesn't want to be recognized.
Just like
that.
Ariel.
Yes. Part of their world.
Oh, Disney.
The scene where the waves splash on him was,
he,
was like,
he just like, looks,
I
met, angry.
I was hoping, like, when friggin' Bruce says, I hear you talk to fish, I was really hoping they'd, like, cut to a scene of him summoning sharks, like, out of the comic. I'm just like, please show that. That'd be amazing.
Just like a dolphin.
Him riding a dolphin or something.
Him riding the flying fish.
Yeah.
Come on.
There you go.
Super Friend style.
Yep.
But this, in this moment, if no one has ever read comic books, that moment, it's like, this is why Aquaman's a badass. And then people are going to be on the internet raging. It's like, why are they trying to make Aquaman so cool? He's
because he is
fishy nerd. And it's like, no, he's the best.
No, he's essentially Superman. He's probably, didn't someone like do a comparison, like a scientific comparison of like Aquaman would actually like a punch from Aquaman is more powerful than a punch from Superman.
Yeah. Because of a,
because of the pressure. Density. Yeah. Because of all the pressure he's under.
Mm-hmm. And his skin is harder and all that mm-hmm. jazz.
Yeah. But yeah.
Aquaman. This week, Wonder Woman.
Cannot wait for those.
And I guess Cyborg was there.
He looks cool.
Yeah. He looks like a hyped up PC.
Yeah. He's like, let me hack into the grid real quick, guys.
They've established a firewall.
I'm in.
Plus, see
Smoke all, is all the hacker memes. Do you see the freaking Edward Snowden trailer?
No.
Is
that the one with Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, that was WikiLeaks.
Okay.
No, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is Edward Snowden, and freaking Shailene Woodley is his wife.
Okay.
But it looked odd.
Huh.
But yeah, that was a thing.
All right.
Justice League Dark movie and the Justice Judas League Contract
and Batman Harley Quinn.
Yeah, all that one's just Bruce Timm. The other ones are kind of. But it seems that they're going off that whole animated universe that they've created now.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Justice League Dark movie for sure it's going to have Constantine and Swamp Thing as two of the main characters.
I imagine Zatanna will be one of the
characters. Yeah, it's have Zatanna. Yeah, it's have Deadman. You need Orchid.
I mean, when I think Justice League Dark, my first thought is immediately Constantine, Zatanna, Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
Those are like the three core that always like band together.
I wonder if the Judas Contract is going to be playing off their new DCAU, where probably. It's going to be that line from the Teen Titans. Probably,
that's what I'm thinking. Because that's the story of them killing Tara, isn't it?
Yeah, where Tara betrays them and everything.
Yeah.
It's a really cool, it's going to be a really cool nuanced thing, because it's going to be, if it is part of that new continuity, it's going to be Damian Wayne. But they already killed Deathstroke in Batman versus Robin? Son of Batman.
Yeah, you're right. It was Son of Batman.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe he's dead, not dead.
Maybe. Or he...
Or it's Rose.
I would like to see like the original lineup of like Dick Grayson, Starfire, Raven.
But it seems like if they're going to go off that and the whole animated universe they've created, that's not going to fit. They're probably going to stick with that main lineup and kind of they're probably going to take a twist on the stories. Like Tara comes, she joins them and eventually betrays them in the movie.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be like, oh, when's it going to happen?
Yeah. When is it? Hey, there's she is.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
And then we're going to get like a brand new original story for Batman Harley Quinn from Bruce Timm. I mean, it's his characters.
Yeah.
So we can only expect so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I forgot that Guillermo del Toro was originally going to direct the Justice League Dark live action movie.
It would have been so great.
That would have been so amazing.
Just imagine Swamp Thing in live action.
He's just the way he directs, that's just like perfect.
Yeah.
But alas, it did not happen.
Make Charlie Day Constantine.
He'd be so short. He'd be so tiny compared to everyone. He'd
just be yelling. Why?
Why, guys?
I hope they bring back what's his name? Live action Constantine to voice for the Justice League Dark one.
That'd be cool. Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I don't know if you heard this, but this was like another announcement I forgot to put in the notes, but for Justice League Action, Bruce Timm's new animated series.
Oh yeah. Jason Spezak.
Jason Spezak hasn't been announced. Josh Keaton will be Green Lantern. Yeah. Kevin Conroy is Batman. Mark Hamill is Joker and Swamp Thing.
Oh.
So I'm interested to see what a Mark Hamill
Swamp Thing would be like.
Because Swamp Thing, I don't know if he's ever been in anything.
I don't think we've ever heard voice of the character. Yeah. Because I have my own idea of what a voice for Swamp Thing would be.
It's like
but
that deep.
Yeah, kind of like Pan's
Labyrinth.
Yeah, like.
Yeah. I always imagine the Fawn in Pan's Labyrinth to be my Swamp Thing.
Okay, yeah.
But like deeper.
Yeah. Some more movie news. Ben Affleck's Batman movie may take place in Arkham Asylum. That would be awesome. you get to show off all the villains.
It'd be it's organic, and you get to show off all these characters.
Like, it could happen right. Like, you could do a twist on the whole Joker killing Jason story. Mm-hmm. Like,
Jason's Robin goes one in Arkham Asylum killing people. Oh. It's the Red Hood.
Ooh. Yeah, that could be kind of cool. Like, Jason comes back. Instead of him going after Black Mask, he just busts into Arkham Asylum and just starts offing people.
Yeah, he's going after the Joker.
That'd be cool. That's, like, his main goal is to find the Joker. But in his whole... He breaks in, releases all the villains, and then, like, it's literally Arkham Asylum, but you have two parties. Like, Batman's trying to contain everything. Jason's trying to off everyone.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. I'd be all for that.
Geoff Johns. Hopefully that's in your script. We did...
Yeah, I forgot Geoff Johns is writing it. So, I mean, it's going to be good either way.
Like, already wrote the script.
Yeah, I mean... It's going to be good either way. I have complete faith in it. And, like, the more we see of Ben Affleck as Batman, I'm just like, yes.
What was the one line in the Justice League trailer when he's talking about Cyborg? It's like, I thought you weren't real. Yeah. And it's like, I'm real when I need to be.
I'm real when it's useful.
And I'm like, that's such a Kevin Conroy moment. And that actually gave me goosebumps when I heard it.
I'm still on the fence about his whole voice modulator thing. Like, it's okay. Yeah. It's not as bad as...
Yeah, like, Batman.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I kind of wish he didn't use it so much, but eh.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's not terrible. We're getting more of the DC crossovers. Like, we got a little tease of that from Dan Didio at DCC.
Yeah, he's like, there's some stuff, but I can't announce it yet. Yeah,
so they're doing more Batman TMNT and more Green Lantern Star Trek.
Yeah, the new Batman TMNT is both of the animated series that are going on right now. It's the new TMNT that's happening on Nickelodeon, and then the 90s Batman animated series that are crossing over.
Oh my god.
So I feel like that would just be really entertaining.
That sounds amazing.
Did you ever read Batman TMNT?
I didn't. I heard it was really good.
It's really good. And then the other one is more Green Lantern Star Trek, which that just fits.
Yeah. I heard it was really good too. Like, I didn't read it, but from what I heard from people who read it that were both fans of it, they're like, it was a really good crossover.
Yeah, you get to see Anton Yelchin become a Blue Lantern.
Yeah. Why did you put American Gods in the DC notes?
I don't know. I think that was one I missed.
Neil Gaiman. I mean, he's tied to DC in a way.
Yeah, we got our first look at American Gods.
It looks so great. And I learned I have access to Stars, so I can watch it.
I'm coming over.
Yeah.
So it's movie night.
Yep, movie night. Yeah, it looks... For those who don't know, American Gods is a series written by Neil Gaiman, or it's a book written by Neil Gaiman, but he was heavily involved in the show.
Yeah, creation. So the basic concept is... it's a Buddhist concept where if you think and you believe in something hard enough, it creates a physical manifestation of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a Buddhist concept. It's
called I think so.
Tupka? I forgot.
Yeah,
but it's like, so every character that our main character Shadow is going to interact with is a physical manifestation of a god. So, like, in the trailer, he's like, and who are you supposed to be? And then,
what day is it? Wednesday. It's my day.
And I was like, oh, that's Odin. And we see other characters. Like, we see
Chernabog. Oh, my God. Chernabog looks so cool.
So badass. What's her face? Scolder?
Scotty?
Mulder from X-Files. She's going to be Marilyn Monroe.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that part.
It was a still that they released at Comic-Con. But Scully, not Mulder, I think.
Right. Yeah, Scully.
Mulder's the dude.
Yeah, Scully.
But all these different characters, like Dane Cook is going to be in the series as a god, too.
Like, what?
And that's really entertaining. And someone actually tweeted Neil Gaiman, and it's like, hey, are we going to see some of those side stories from the series? You know,
yeah, I mean, now that because I've heard confirmed that it's at least two seasons.
And in the first season, we get to see the taxi driver, the Jin.
Yes.
And that's probably like my favorite little tie-in for American Gods is this taxi driver who's a Jin. He's a genie who's driving people around in New York. I won't give anything away, but Neil Gaiman even says, like, yeah, he's in the trailer. If you didn't see that, I'm like,
need to go watch it 7 more times until I find it.
Yep. And I love Neil Gaiman. American Gods is one of my favorite books.
The audiobook, I listened to the audiobook of it, and they had like a full cast of it. Like, who did they cast as Odin again? I forget.
I never listened to the audiobook.
No, not the audiobook, but the actual show.
I have no idea.
But they almost sound identical, which is what I love about it. I'm just like, yes, Odin sounds like definitely like older guy, like very wise and kind of met like that deep commanding voice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like they just nailed it.
Yeah. It's going to be excited. Really cool.
Yeah. It's going to be great. So excited. I forgot the scene where Shadow's like walking through the forest and he just gets pummeled. I forgot that scene was in the book.
See, my favorite part, what's his girlfriend's name again?
I want to say Lana. Not Lana. Lana. It's something around those lines. Laura.
I can't wait to see what because as soon as Shadow comes out, and they say this in the trailer, his girlfriend died.
Yeah.
Laura.
His wife.
Sorry. It's been a while. It's been like 2 years since I read it. But Laura comes back.
You can already tell. She's essentially a zombie.
Yeah. At a certain point, she's like a ghost that he sees. But at another point, she literally is a zombie. Like
you can tell
she has maggots crawling out of her.
She's even blue in the trailer a little bit. Yeah. Like you can start to tell like she's starting to fall apart.
Yeah. I mean, if you've never read American Gods, you really need to. Just
it's so great.
The whole thought process between, like, if you believe in something, it comes to life. So you have
this. It's just like this great twist of, like, all these immigrants, they brought their gods with them to come into America.
And then
that's so great.
I hope they did, like, the deleted chapter of a Jesus, the American Jesus, like, with a baseball cap eating a hot dog. That was my favorite part of the book.
Man. Oh, man, they get so much criticism for that if they did it. But hey, they're keeping the vagina scene in there.
Yes, the man that
they were very they were very particular. I think you even see that in the trailer, or at least part of it.
I had to watch it on my phone because that's
You see, like there's
right when I got to the bar,
there's the woman in the room that's like completely red. So yeah. I imagine that's that scene.
And so the we never actually explain the conflict of American gods, but it's the worship and the ideas of the old gods. So like Odin, Chernozog and all of them versus like the new gods that people believe in. Yeah. So like the god of technology, the god of money, the god of sex, all of that stuff. And the
media.
Clashing ideologies come together in like one giant battle towards the end. So, and you have Shadow who's like in the middle of everything.
This guy who's got roped into it.
He's like, why am I even here? And then we learn why he's there.
Yeah. Eventually.
But at the end.
Yep.
And I'm not going to say why. So yeah, such cool stuff.
Whew. Yeah.
Today's the day we just like gush over trailers.
We're just
going
to ramble about stuff. So we got to see the Flash season 3 trailer, and looks like Black Racer is going to be the villain.
Yeah, and Wally West is the Flash of the Flashpoint world.
Yeah. It's still weird because you see Barry in his suit, so it doesn't really show if he still has his powers or not.
But some characters are aware of everything because towards the end of that trailer, we see Henry Allen going like, Barry, this isn't your world. This is a mirage.
Or even Iris is like, so what's your universe like?
Yeah. It's going to be heartbreaking.
Oh, man. Ebert Thawne. That was such a great scene. I thought we called this Flashpoint.
It's going to be, I want to say something about Earbard too, but it's going to be heartbreaking to see these characters who always interacted, not really interacted the same way. Like Barry and Joe don't have their relationship anymore. Cisco is
kind of a dick.
Yeah. And then it's like, where does Caitlin fit into everything? Mm-hmm. Like Barry and Joe never had that relationship. Barry never essentially adopted or Joe never
Barry
adopted
and Iris
Barry.
Don't have a relationship.
And it's like, I don't even know you.
Yeah.
It's
like,
Barry's
who are you again?
Face. And it's like, oh, then you have Tom Felton. We get to see him.
He wasn't even in the trailer, was he?
Yeah, he was.
For glimpse. I don't think he said anything.
And it was really funny because in the SDCC panel, someone asked, "Is like, and they're asking Tom Felton, it's like, how does it feel like working on the show? And it's like, you know what? Barry Allen reminds me of Harry Potter. And Grant Gustin's just blushing on stage. He's like, oh my God. So we get to see that interaction too. Yeah. And the one thing I want to say about Earbar.
Oh yeah, the whole who's the villain now, Barry?
That screams Earbar Thawne. That screams the Reverse Flash that I've known in comic books.
Yeah, you even made the note of just like we just need him to say it was me, Barry.
So you have your whole cosmic treadmill thing. I need it was me Barry. Barry.
That'd be kind of a cool way to like, and like maybe this is like just the first half of the season. where Eobard Thawne, like, they finally reveal, it's just like, it was me, Barry. I created the Flashpoint.
I was the slice of cold pizza. There's an entire meme dedicated to it was me, Barry. And it's very entertaining. Just go look it up.
Yeah, just go find it. You'll find it. It's not hard to
find. Thank you, 4chan, for that one meme.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing to come from that.
So, apparently, Flashpoint will affect the Arrow universe in, like, a very small way, according to Grant Gustin during that panel, or Mark Guggenheimer, whoever said it. And then the four-part crossover between Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, and Legends will all deal with the Flashpoint. So, it'll be interesting to see all of this happen. And we know that Reverse Flash probably knows that the universe isn't right. That's just his character. That's how it was in Flashpoint. That's how it was anytime he traveled back in time to whatever universe, that he's like, yeah, Barry, you're the one that changed everything.
Yep. Then we got Arrow Season 5 trailer, and they revealed that Prometheus is the big bad.
And everyone left Ollie, so he has a new ragtag team. Wild Dog, Black Canary, and then Mr. Terrific, if Echo.
No, not Black Canary.
It was the fake Black Canary from season 4.
Evelyn.
Yeah.
What's her face? I can't remember her last name.
But it was the fake Black Canary. So she might become a new Black Canary. Because canaries cry. But
it's kind of weird because they said that Katie Cassidy was going to be a reoccurring character in all, or a series regular in all the shows. That's confusing.
It's the same. Was it? Katie Cassidy has that. Wentworth Miller has that. Mm-hmm. And John Wesley Shipp has that too.
Right.
I mean, Shipp makes the most sense because he can be Jay Garrick in any of those universes. Mm-hmm. And then Wentworth Miller is still dead-ish, I guess.
Probably, one of those dead, dead.
He's a cop in the Flashpoint.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Sorry.
He just shows up.
Yeah. Citizen Cold. But, it's interesting because she's dead, not dead.
She's still dead.
Unless
because of the whole Flashpoint thing.
But we see her tombstone in the season 5 trailer. So unless post-Flashpoint, like, Barry just booms everything back into a certain way.
Yeah. I just hope Arrow is good again
this season. This season looks a lot better because it's a more grounded villain.
Right. There's no bullshit magic.
I realized I never finished season 4.
I didn't either.
Like, I read it,
probably. I gave up after... Crap, what episode was it? Oh, it was the episode right before they had to go save Ollie's kid. I gave up after that episode. I'm just like, I'm done.
Okay.
I was told it was just a bad episode. So I'm just like, I'm just giving up this season.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Because, again, a more grounded villain and then someone like Prometheus who...
I think we'll see. What if Roy comes back and he loses his arm this way?
Yeah. With some cry for justice.
Rips it off. So we got Rebirth news?
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of Rebirth stuff. Dan Dio actually confirmed that, like, I think it was last SDCC where they announced that the Milestone property is coming back, but after, like, a year or two of no news, he finally said something. It's like, yeah, we're still very dedicated in bringing Milestone back. I'm talking the creator, or the original creator for that, and at least once a week, and we're trading ideas back and forth. But what's kind of cool is that Milestone's actually going to be its own separate entity again. It's going to take place on Earth-M. So I wonder if we're actually going to see some of those characters cross over, like Static, like Icon, or Rocket. Characters people are familiar with. I would love to see Static come back.
I would too. Like a good, solid Static book.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
And then there's a lot of stuff that they talked about with Rebirth. Like, they said, Kyle Rayner's coming back, and the Green Lanterns are out of the Edge of Oblivion. So,
I thought he already was back.
Kyle Rayner's just going to make his appearance.
Oh, okay.
And then the Green Lanterns are coming back in, like, issue 7, I want to say, from the Edge of Oblivion.
Gotcha.
And then just a lot of other news, like, just fan teases, like Jim Lee saying that, I don't want to say anything now about New York Comic Con. We're going to bring back some Wildstorm news. And I don't know if you know, but Jim Lee owned Wildstorm. He sold it to DC.
Yeah, I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
Isn't Jim Lee the editor on some other company right now?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of Grant Morrison's the editor for Aftershock.
Yeah. No, not Aftershock. Heavy Metal.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But Jim Lee and Rob Liefeld actually created Wildstorm together.
Oh, really?
And then Jim Lee sold the rights to Wildstorm to DC, and that's how Jim Lee became a DC artist and how he worked his way up the company. I mean, the only characters we see from Wildstorm are Midnighter and Apollo, so it'd be cool to see the Gen 13 come back, to see Stormwatch come back or Authority come back.
Yeah.
You know, I was the only one in the audience at DCC, and Chad Hardwin.
Yeah.
Said, it's like, I'd love to see Gen 13 come back, and I'd throw my arms up in the air and scream, and yeah, John Romita Jr. points at me. I'm like, yeah, I gotta notice because I'm obnoxious.
There was a Batman Rebirth panel.
Yes.
Did it have like all the big
people? It had all the writers.
Nice.
And it was just them mainly talking.
I love the Snyder thing. The series is where he's talking about All-Star Batman. This is a series where every weird villain shows up. A big villain in this is KG Beast.
Yeah, he's the main villain.
Really?
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting. Since KG Beast is always kind of like that. He was in Assault on Arkham, and then he was the first one to die.
Yeah, he got his head blown up.
He's always been kind of like that joke.
He was in a BVS
punch
too.
Thing. Yeah,
he was the
he was
nameless mercenary. Well, he had a name, but no one knew him by his name.
Right.
And then afterwards, he was like, "Oh." Mm. But they showed a preview for All-Star Batman, like just the page spreads, and it's like Killer Moth and Firefly. And I'm like, oh, does that mean we get just like all these really obscure villains are coming? Mm-hmm. And then there's backups done to explain, you know, Duke's rise as a supporting character for Batman.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else. Birds of Prey.
Yes. Let's talk about Birds of Prey. Are you talking about the panel or?
Yeah, it's still in the panel. I'm trying to think what else. Someone, I think it was Tom King, that said like Detective Comics right now is his favorite book. Just because of James Tynan's work on it.
I'm trying to see. I'm trying to see if there's a quote. This is a very long article.
Yeah.
I don't see anything about Tom King saying that, but I will take your word on that.
Anyways.
King praised Tynan's work, comparing it to the soap opera feel of the original Uncanny X-Men series.
That's a lot of praise. That's Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
You at SDCC, why does that guy have a huge line?
No, it was a C2E2.
Oh yeah, C2E2. Why does that guy have a huge line? I'm like, that's Chris Claremont.
Yeah, I know. I feel still ashamed.
Not all of us are an encyclopedia.
I know. I didn't read the 90s stuff.
The 90s X-Men were the best. All right, so Birds of Prey?
Yes. Oh my god, the book was so good. So excited for it.
It had a lot of emotion.
It did. Like, they even undid the whole thing. And Batgirl that they undid with Killing Joke.
Oh, that was part of that Rebirth panel that I wanted to talk about. Where the writer for Birds of Prey, someone asked them, it's like, well, the Burnside team went through great lengths to say, yeah, we undid this. They were being like really cheeky about it. Mm-hmm. But not Hope Larson.
No, right? That's the writer.
Hope Larson for Birds of Prey?
Yeah.
Who am I thinking?
No, that's the Batgirl writer. Claire Rowe. It's the Benson.
The Bensons.
Yeah.
Where the Bensons say it's like, well, we decided to keep that because it's a very integral, important part for Barbara's character. Mm-hmm. We need to see her, you know, give up the life, grow into Oracle, and then eventually move on to that other, moving back into the Batgirl persona as a stronger being, because we want to show that she can overcome the traumatic experiences. I remember telling you, I'm like, I hated this issue of Batgirl of Burnside because of what the writers implied. Like, it undoes a lot of important character growth. And you're like, oh, it's probably not that. It's probably up to interpretation. Yeah. But Batgirl was so cool because one panel.
Yeah. I like the way they use this scene. Because there's some writers that they'll just show the scene. And it's just like, yeah, everybody knows about this scene. We know why it's important. But the narration for it was what was perfect for me.
Yeah.
So like Barbara's like, it goes through step by step. It's just like, I can't eat marshmallows anymore because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, that's a very Barbara thing. Like, she's not thinking about what it did to her. She's just thinking about, yeah, I there's this thing tied to it that I can't do anymore now.
Yeah. It's just very heartfelt. And the whole thing where Diana just goes, it's like, well, why does this matter that someone's using Oracle?
Because it is me. It was me.
It was my life. And I'm like, I sent that text to Kayla and she was like, wow.
Yeah. Just the immediate, just Barbara's face in that.
Half of it shadowed. And yeah. Just like that sheer amount of anger was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Just anger, horror of just somebody just like taking her old persona and just dragging it through the mud.
Mm-hmm.
Like it both, it's just like, it's shocking her and just upsetting her.
It's like every time someone uses another hero, like when Jason became Nightwing for 1 year later
mm-hmm.
in New York, where Dick is like, someone's using the Nightwing persona and killing people.
Right.
Because of it. And then can we talk about like Helena?
Yes.
Just her. Yes.
God, in sheer, she's in the confession. She's in the confession though.
That was so great.
Oh man.
She's just sitting there talking to a priest. It's like, I don't know when my last confession was, but I am on a, I'm on a hunt now. I use
the title of matron
as a caretaker, but that's not who I am.
And then, I'm more of a huntress.
And it shows like the priest with an arrow through his heart. I'm like, oh, that is cold blooded.
Yeah. God, even when they all meet up, it's like Dinah Lance, Barbara Gordon. So I was like, how do you know? I was like, I know all about you, mm-hmm. both of you.
It's really exciting to see because all three of the, like Dinah and Barbara can work together just fine, mm-hmm. but they have different ideologies. And now we have that third character coming in to be like,
even like the cover, the cover for the series just says it all of
the three of them yelling at each other.
Helena's yelling at Barbara and Dinah's just rolling her eyes in the back like, can you lovebirds just get over it?
Yeah, get it, birds.
Yep.
I
just the whole time I was reading it, I was just like, this brings me back to Gail Simone's Birds of Prey. Like, I feel like Gail Simone would be proud of this.
Yeah, it's very Gail Simone, Chuck Dixon-esque.
Yeah. Like, the three of them, they worked, eventually they'll work together, but they all have their own ideologies of how things should go.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Ostrander, John Ostrander, he was like the one who created the Oracle persona, and mm-hmm. then everyone else picked it up. He doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Because Barbara worked for the Suicide Squad for a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was before she. That's before Chuck Dixon started to use her for Birds of Prey.
Right. Never mind.
Okay.
There was a different thought. I was thinking of this image I saw from an old, I want to say it was an old Batgirl issue of, maybe it wasn't Batgirl, maybe it was Birds of Prey, I'm not sure. But it was Joker, who's just like, I took away your future. I did this. And then Barbara's just like, you took nothing from me.
Yeah. And then she proceeds to start beating him.
Yeah. I saw that image pop up recently.
Yeah. That was from a Birds of Prey issue.
Yeah. That's how I imagine this whole, that's the Barbara I love.
Mm-hmm.
I miss her. But yeah, we've been rambling a while. It's already been over an hour.
But we got to catch Pokemon.
Yeah. So we'll do a quick little promo and then we'll come back and do our SDCC lightning round and then picks.
Alrighty. This episode of the Z2 Podcast would like to promote Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles located in Parker, Colorado. For more information, you can visit their Facebook at Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles or Twitter at HOJ Comics. Their store has many amazing things ranging from comics, pop figures, collectibles, action figures, and much more. For more information, you can follow those two links and have a wonderful day.
And we're back.
We're back.
Time for some SDCC lightning round. So the way this is going to work, we have a list of one-line topics, and we're going to say yay or nay if we want to go more in-depth on them.
Yep.
So start off. Ego, the living planet, is Peter Quill's father. Okay?
One-sentence response. James Gunn said he'd give us a talking raccoon and be an interesting character. I'm okay with this.
Sure, why not?
Boom. I mean, he proved Rocket Raccoon would be interesting.
Yeah. Let's Boom. Go. There we go. Next one. Brie Larson is confirmed to be Carol Danvers.
Woo.
Awesome. Cool. I'm all for it. Secret Wars TV show.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Why not?
Oh, I forgot to add Scotty Young, Rocket, Groot, animation style TV show also.
Let's see. Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel, Black Panther, and Jane Foster's Thor are all going to be in the Secret Wars TV show. Cool. Awesome. I don't watch any of the Marvel animated shows.
Why is Miss Marvel there? She wasn't part of Secret Wars.
Who knows? We got to see, let's see, gladiator armor from Thor Ragnarok for Hulk.
Planet Hulk.
Hey, cool. Awesome. Sure.
Moving on. Oh, did you see the title screen?
The title screen?
For Thor Ragnarok, it's like the classic 90s kind of arcade chromey look. Sorry. All right, moving.
We talked about it earlier. Katie Cassidy is now a regular across all CW shows. How was that going to work? Who knows?
Go.
Stuff. Black Magic to be adapted.
TV show.
Woo-hoo! Yes. Yes, even though we only have one arc.
Greg Rucka for life.
And Nicholas Scott.
Yes.
It's not loading. I wanted to see one more.
That's it. It was just an announcement.
They just announced it. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Cool. Again, they need more of the story, though. I don't know how much you're going to get.
April 2017, second arc starts.
And then the last one we already talked about. Ario's big bad is Prometheus.
Great.
Cool. Arm rip, maybe? Sure.
Flaming sword?
Why not? Yay, we did it.
All right, moving forward. How long did we do that?
3 minutes. 3 minute lightning round. Boom.
Picks of the week. This week, I nominate Star Wars. Issue 21, I think it was, because yeah,
like 21 or Darth Vader was 23.
Yeah, Star Wars was like a break from the
You got the clone.
Yeah, it was a issue, stormtrooper. Right? It's not even clone troopers, stormtroopers. And
I was thinking because you told me it's very Republic Commando.
Yeah, the reason why I say that it's they're called the Scar Troopers. Like they are the Black Ops team of the stormtroopers. They have like a heavy dude who shoots rockets. They have a sniper. They have tech. It's like it's very reminiscent of that Black Ops team for Republic Commando. And the best part is the sergeant, who's our narrator character, he's giving them commands. He's planning everything. And the most badass thing that he did was whip out a lightsaber.
Nice.
And attack a tank. And I'm like, holy fuck.
I almost want to just pick up Star Wars for that arc.
I want that to be just the story. Because, I've heard enough about Luke, Leia, and Han.
Yeah. Well, like, give us more expanded universe stuff.
I guess they're going to be the antagonists, though, for this upcoming Star Wars arc. So it's going to switch perspectives to Luke. It's going to be Luke and Han and Leia stealing a Star Destroyer, but they're going to get a really junky, crappy one by accident. And then the Scar Troopers are going to be on the Star Destroyer with them.
Nice.
So it's going to be like... did you read Lando?
No, I did not.
You need to read Lando. It's the best Star Wars limited series.
Okay.
Because they find like a Sith idol on Palpatine's private ship.
Hey.
And then it's very much... it's very much like Jaws, where you don't know who becomes the bad guy because of that Sith influence. And I feel these Scar Troopers, who are the Black Ops undercover team, are going to be very reminiscent of, it's like, we need to hunt these people down.
Yeah.
We're going to do it in stealth.
Like, they
style.
Go rogue. It'd be cool if they got their own limited series, like, if they go too. Rogue.
Jason Aaron, please. You just got nominated as...
Yeah, the best writer. So best writer awards. For from the Eisners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, your turn.
So, mine's going to be Clean Room, issue 10 this week. And we just learned that, last week, the solicits came out that there was an issue 13. So, we get at least another arc of the story.
Yeah,
October. And holy crap, Gail Simone, you are a twisted motherfucker. Dear God, like, it's going off the it's pretty much the after effect of Astrid almost dying. Like, she's off in the mountains, she's like, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. Her whole fight to fight off these demons is just like,
it broke her.
Yeah, she's just done.
It was her own brother that tried to kill her.
Yeah, like she just couldn't do it anymore.
And then Killian takes over. And then we get to see the Doctor again.
Yeah, that scene is just so messed up. Like, I don't... Like, if you want a very... Like, if you want a good horror and just really messed up, like, creepy book, Clean Room will get that job done for you.
Yeah, one of our resident friends in Thinking Outside Longbox, Gabe, has started reading Clean Room.
It's just
so pumped about it.
It's like it has all of Gail Simone's isms that she likes to incorporate in her books, but it's just like so. This is the most brutal thing I've read from Gail Simone. Like just some of the body horror, and like I guess a trigger warning if you can't handle body horror, because I know some people are like that. It's even I that stuff doesn't bother me, but this was just like, oh God, why? Why? Yeah,
very Full Metal Alchemist moment where a guy gets turned into a horse.
Yeah.
But it's like a horse upper half.
It's literally like he got, his body was just like contorted into a horse's shape.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was just so messed up. And it makes me wonder, like, how are they, what are these demons, like, what is their purpose? Do they just want to take down the whole world? Or, like, what is their true reason for being here?
On a brighter note, Sparky's still alive.
Poor Sparks, though. He's just getting destroyed.
He's getting tortured.
Yeah. I mean, the whole scene from Killian, though, that was a really good, like, because she's struggling just to, like, how does Astra do this?
Mm-hmm.
And she eventually, like, she comes to terms. This is like, all right, this is what we're going to fucking do, and we're going to go do it.
Astrid fights. We're going to fight.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's everything for this episode of Z2 Podcast.
It went by real quick this time.
Please, as always, we're going to just plug our stuff. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Z2 Podcast on Twitter and Z2 Podcast on Facebook. We're available here on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, our WordPress, multiple ways to get our stuff. Leave us a review. Give us a rating.
Let us know what you think. Or if you have any things you want us to talk about.
Yeah. Tonight, I'm going to upload the first article of what I'm calling just the empty pages. It's just the ramblings that I have after podcasts. And it's going to be that discussion about legacy and comic book characters. So that's going to be the first one that comes up.
And also, if you have a project you want to talk about with us or promote or anything, if you want to collaborate with us, feel free to either contact us on Facebook or Twitter or email us at z2podcasts@gmail.com.
That's with an S at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
As in multiple.
Yep. And we're going to go catch some Pokemon.
Yeah. How are you on the Pokemon hype train? What team are you on?
Mystic.
Valor.
Yeah. Reds and Blues.
Dirty Blues.
Sorry. Grease your teeth for life.
Yep.
All right. So we're going to go catch Pokemon. Love you, audience. Have a wonderful day. We're going to be the very best
that no one ever was.
Bye.